Good morning. The Lord be with you. We extend a warm welcome to everyone this morning, to our visitors, to our home folks, and thank you both acolytes for a very nice job. Please, if you would, turn to the announcements in your bulletin. We have several good things going on. The orange sheet is for those who can help with our Thanksgiving dinner. They'll go to all our homebound folks and also Springdale Senior Apartments. Nobody should be without a good home-cooked meal on Thanksgiving, and there's a job for everybody. If you want to help out, I know it will be a wonderful way to be in mission. Please do note, it's Communion Sunday, so we have little baskets up front. We collect this money, put it in the discretionary fund for the poor, of whom we see many in the church office, who are hungry, who are homeless. Of course, we use a referral system. We're very careful with the funds, but the needs are really there. Please note, Election Day is 2 days away. I don't need to tell you that. We're all well aware. But our sanctuary will be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for prayer and communion. We need to pray for the unity of our country. Pleasant View United Methodist Church is very close to us, a historically African-American church with a wonderful young pastor, Eric Strother. They've invited those of us who would like to help out this coming Saturday from 11 to 1. They're going to have soup and sandwich for the neighborhood, anybody who wants to come in. And they're asking other Methodist brothers and sisters to come help out. I'm looking forward to going. If some of you can go too, let me know. That would be great. Christmas musical coming up for children and for adults. Meals on Wheels, we deliver them all in December and need volunteers. And we have a new intercessory prayer group beginning. They're going to meet at 4 o'clock this afternoon in my office. Please come if you feel the call to pray in a very specific way. That being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our kind God, how good it is to be together and breathe in your peace and your goodness and to breathe out the stresses and concerns that we carry. This time belongs to you, O God. We come to praise you, to open our hearts to your gospel, to be faithful in our own generation. You are so welcome here, Lord. Bless us with your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. invite you now to stand as you're able, and I'm going to ask you to turn to page 755. That's a little different than what's in your bulletin as we read responsibly from Psalm 24, page 755. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For God has founded it upon the seas.
And established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
And who shall stand in God's holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts.
Who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord. Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord. Great is our faithfulness, is the hymn found on page 140. Let us sing together. Please turn and greet those that are near you.
be seated. We now have the pleasure of hearing our mission moment from Roger Daniels.
Well, this past Thursday, Pastor Linda, Larry Hart, and myself, we drove to Rainel, West Virginia. It's a little over a two-hour drive, and we met with Pastor Jonathan from the local Methodist church. Their church is acting, he's acting as a coordinator, construction coordinator down there. He's having groups come in. They have added four showers in the church, and they can sleep up to 25 people. So the day we were there, Pastor Mike Maton, son of Kay and Bill, was going to be arriving. He has been there many times, and he's been working on, I don't know if it's just that one house or several houses, but the house that we looked at, go ahead, Lori. This is the neighborhood. This is the house on the corner. That yellow line is the high water line. As you can see, the house that we were in had over 40 inches of water. Go ahead, Lori. The next one is that is the neighborhood. That's the road in front of the house. And then this is the house that we're going to be working in. The water was, like I said, 40 some inches in there. They had to tear out the drywall up to 4 feet. What we plan to do is redo the kitchen. We're measuring the kitchen there for new cabinets and a counter, and we hope to get there sometime in the next month or so. If you are interested, we'd like you to contact Pastor Linda or myself. We're looking for all skill levels. We're more than likely going to have to spend the night to put in all the cabinets and the counter and sink. And like I say, we haven't set the date yet, but it's a worthwhile project, and this family had, I understand, didn't have any insurance, and so we're trying to get them back up. They're living in the house, but they don't have a kitchen, so you can imagine what that would be like. So please let us know if you're interested in helping out, and just let me or Linda know. Okay? Thank you all.
Thank you, Roger, and thank you to Larry for a good day that we had together. It'd be a wonderful thing to do for part of our Christmas expression of thanks to put these folks back in business with the kitchen. Well, we now have Pastor Amanda and the children's period. So come on up, kids.
Hi, guys. It's so nice to have all of you here today. I brought a picture with me that is very special. And I know you're going to hold it for me. Thank you. I know David already thought that was a picture of Allison, right? But who did I say it was really a picture of? Me and my grandfather. That's right. I was probably about 4 in that picture, and why I love it is, do you see the big smile on his face? He has a big, big smile, an even bigger smile on my face. That's true, and that's part of why I like it so much, because it's a picture of my grandpa, how I remember him, and he's been gone about 15 years now. He passed away and went to live with God. And that makes me sad, but I keep a picture of him so that I can remember him. And yeah, people are dying. That's right. But you know what is what the good news about that is that we can remember them. Today is a day called All Saints Day. It was actually the day after Halloween, but we're going to celebrate it in the church today. Do you know what a saint is?
It's when you think about the guys who already died and you try to be thankful and try to remember them.
That's very good. So the saints are the people who have already went to live with God, and the people that were faithful and were a part of the church and who loved God. And to, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, that's so sad. But we can remember her in our hearts, right? Yeah, yeah. But today is... Did you have something, David?
And my grandfather passed away somewhere near 442.
Uh-huh. So today is the day when we're going to name the people in our church who have died and that went to live with God and remember them today. But we can always remember the people. And we can remember the good news about Jesus is that we get to go and be with God too. And we'll hopefully be able to see these people again when we go and live with God. Can you pray with me? Amazing God. We thank you for this day and for all that have gone before us. And we pray for them and we still love them. And all God's kids said,
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Now, before we go down to children's church, I'm going to have you guys sit in the pew with me because we are going to listen to the bells play during the offering before we go to children's church. Is that okay with you guys? Yeah, all right.
Thank you, Pastor Amanda and kids. I still think the best part of worship is probably the children's period. It's awesome. Well, we now have the pleasure of hearing from Tom Brown about stewardship.
The mission of our church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, to love God, grow in faith, and serve Christ. Let's just for a moment focus on or reflect on our many blessings and good fortunes. All the good gifts in our lives come from God. So we need to look at how we will express our thank you. We can choose making a difference and sharing your love of others here and around the world. Any local church that has a deep love for one another and an authentic unity can't help but be effective. It is through your stewardship that you make these things real to others. As we serve God's people, we serve God. I want to read from Luke 21, 1 to 4, the widow's offering. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. The message from this scripture
Thank you, Doug. You had some tough names in Haggai, I tell you what. That's not for the faint of heart. You did beautifully. Well, the art of human conversation is a complex thing, as we can see from the Sadducees' questioning of Jesus. Now, conversation at its best means that you speak, and I really listen to understand, and then I speak, and you really listen to understand. But a lot of the time, that's not what goes on in human conversation. As close as we are to the election, you already know that, just from turning on the media. Sometimes the goal of communication or speech is not clarity, but it's a desire to manipulate, or a desire to entrap, or even a desire to hide what's really true. I learned that as a parent. I remember when our three were preteens, they experimented with not lying to father and mother, but just omitting certain truths. I suppose I did the same until I got straightened out. The Sadducees are really trying to lay a verbal trap for Jesus, which means that no good communication is really coming from their end. They have an agenda. The Sadducees were legalists. They were fundamentalists in their day. They only accepted Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy as their scripture. And those first five books nowhere mention the resurrection of the dead. So the Sadducees said, well, then we don't either. When you die, you're dead, that's it, you're done. But the Pharisees and Jesus believed in the resurrection from the dead. So the Sadducees cooked up this incredible case study. You know, it was, I wouldn't say it was common, but it wasn't unusual either, if a man, young man, died, for his widow to marry a younger brother who was single and available, and that way to have children in his brother's name as well as his own. Well, the Sadducees manufacture this by seven. Seven brothers married to the same woman? I mean, she would have been known as the Black Widow, right? She's bumping off these guys left and right. And then the question is, well, whose wife is she? She legally married all these guys, even though she did not seem to be very good for their health. Jesus said, you know, you really failed to get the whole conversation, because you're not understanding what the resurrection is like. What is it like? What are relationships like? Well, Jesus says, for one thing, there is no more time. Now, that's hard to imagine. How many of you all are looking at your watch or your cell phone regularly to see what time it is? Come on. You know, it's like when we all get to heaven, we're going to be staring at our left wrists. Time ceases. And we become very close to God and close to all those who have died in faith. Now, this is very different than the immortality of the soul. Christians really don't believe in the immortality of the soul, which is kind of a Greek idea that says when I die, some little element of my spirit goes on eternally. No, the resurrection from the dead says that the whole person rises. The whole person is redeemed. The whole person is united with God. We remember Jesus in his appearances after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Do you remember? He was different, and yet they figured out it was indeed Jesus. He cooked for them on the beach. He ate with them. He let Thomas touch his hands. Do you remember? But he didn't have some of the limits that we do. When the doors were locked for fear of the authorities, what did Jesus do? Right through the doors. So the resurrected person is themselves, and yet they are transformed. The whole person is redeemed and united to God. And through that great unity with God, we have unity with one another, but in a whole different way than on earth. Now, the Greek word for resurrection is Anastasia. Have you ever known a woman named Anastasia? Well, that's the Greek verb for resurrection. It literally means to rise up, to stand up. When David and I lived in the holy city of Qom, Iran, Q-O-M, long before it was a Muslim holy city, it was a Christian town. Qom is Arabic. It means rise up. Guess who gave the city that name? The early Christians did. We are people who proclaim the power of the resurrection in our lives. We proclaim that when today is gone, we will rise up forever in the presence of God and one another. We are resurrection people. We are deeply united with all those who have gone before us and those who will come after us. And the goal of conversation in the family of God is clarity, love, honesty, and unity. Good things to remember going into the election as we are. Our speech should be tender with care, with a refusal to put up barriers between people, and to honor the stewardship that we have. You know, we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We know that by our speaking truth in love, by our good stewardship, by our refusal not to love one another, that we are ushering in the kingdom because we are God's people. When we lived in the Middle East, it was an art form for men especially to barter in the market. And man, it was an art form. Sometimes it was so enthusiastic, men would take off their jackets and put them aside because this was a vigorous undertaking. First you had to drink tea, and then you had to swing your arms around a lot and come to some kind of an agreement. Well, my husband David didn't like that. He likes a fair price to be named, and then he'll pay whatever it is. He was trying to buy a rug, a Persian rug, made by a handicapped veteran from the Iran-Iraq war. But he had a good Muslim guy with him to kind of keep a lid on things. So Dave said, "What's the price?" And the price evidently was huge. His Muslim friend went. And David said again, "Give me a fair price." It was astronomical. It went on. Finally, the seller of the rug said, "I get it. Masihi Hasteem. This guy is one of the Messiah's people, isn't he? He's a Christian. The Messiah's people don't barter. They will only pay a fair price." What a wonderful thing to be known by. We are the Messiah's people. The prophet Haggai reminds us that God will be faithful to our nation also, no matter what. Let's remember in our speech, in our integrity, in our union with one another, to speak the truth in love as the Messiah's people. Amen? Amen.